Welcome to the newest episode of It's My Turn with Charlie Turner Thorne. I'm Charlie Turner Thorne, the head coach of Arizona State University women's basketball. I've been a head coach for 26 years, so I'm used to getting asked the hard questions. There's always a lot of pressure to win while developing the lives of our 18 to 22-year-old women. The most challenging part of all this? Well, all of it. But now it's my turn to ask the questions while hopefully sharing a few nuggets of my own about leadership and building a winning culture. We are joined, honored to have us joining today, Herm Edwards, 10-year NFL standout defensive back, NFL coach, ESPN TV analyst, and then, of course, back-to-back bowl games going into his third season at ASU. And I hear you've already been spreading your wisdom and positivity through SportsCenter this morning, Herm. So thank you so much for joining us. Herm Edwards, you're on the hot seat.
Well, that's good. I've been on the hot seat numerous times, as we all know that. In your coaching profession, and you've done a marvelous job coaching one of the greatest games ever invented in basketball, and you know I'm a big fan of yours, and I just think that at this time and in place in our country, we need some positivity. We need some people like yourself
for sure.
To make sure that we set good role models, and we are good role models to show to the young people that we have the ability to coach.
Well said. Thank you, Herm. And you are an amazing fan, and by the way, you look like you could actually still play a little bit. I know you have your workout every day. You're looking good, my friend. So
I'm gonna stay out there on that three-point thing and just shoot out there. I don't want to go underneath anymore.
Yeah, all of us smart players with no eligibility do that. That's good. So. Well, hey, you kind of alluded. I mean, football season kicks off in nearly 5 months, but it's kind of, you didn't really get the spring season, unfortunately. And I know probably a lot of your players are home. And I just thought maybe the listeners would really be interested to know, Herm, like, so what are you doing right now? You know, they don't really know everything else we do.
Well, they just see when the game starts, right? They don't understand
exactly.
There's a lot of work being done, and when you think about the practice schedules and the meeting schedules and all those things, they've been interrupted, to say the least. But with that being said, we still have to plan, like, when the season, it's presented to us and the time that we're going to have to prepare. And I think in your sport as well as in my sport, in any sport, I think fans will realize sometimes the practices are more important than the game, to be quite honest.
Right.
This is when you teach the game easy. It's all that other stuff you have to do before the game. And so now we're looking at the next time we'll be able to come back. We don't know what that date is, but we do know it will start eventually. So we've laid out our whole practice schedule. We have about three or four different schedules of when we anticipate coming back and what we're going to do. We were fortunate enough to have seven practices in the spring. So we got some stuff installed. Makes a tough on us this year. Yeah. But here's the problem. We're like a lot of coaching staffs. All of a sudden, we have a brand new offense, a brand new defense. So you can imagine where we're at right now with that, right? Players are trying to do something different. The Pac-12 has given us the ability now to zoom in with our players so we can actually have some meeting time with them during the week.
Team meeting.
It's limited. It's limited, but we've done that. Our coaching staff with this, obviously, separation, we don't ever sit in the same room anymore. We actually, if we go in the team room, we sit probably 10 feet apart because it's so big it can hold 100 players, 40 coaches. So when we have a meeting, I'm in this big team room and all the coaches spread out all over the place. But we're still talking football and we're visiting with our players. And we're still recruiting, too. I mean, that's part of it, too. We have what we call a Sparky Hour. Basically, we call players, or we text the players, or players call us, and from there, we visit with them. So I'll visit with maybe 10 prospects every day that we're actually recruiting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think people like, oh, you can't do anything. It's like, oh no, every day we're recruiting. You know, you're
95% of your life is recruiting.
Yes. A good friend of mine had a fun saying. He's like, if you're recruiting is like shaving. If you don't do a little bit every day, you end up looking like a bum. And
yep, that's right.
That was a male, of course, because, you know, my legs aren't that hairy. But well, tell me, on a little lighter note, have you been able to utilize a little bit of more time at home just to be with your family and, you know, the girls and stuff? Or
yeah, some, but, you know, my wife is a creature of habit, too. And if I'm around there too much, like, you know what, you need to get up out of here. And so I really leave. She says, we love you, but we don't want you around here this much. And she's right, because you know, I'll mess up things. But what's fortunate, they live right across the street. So they'll get their exercise in, and sometimes they'll have the ability to walk in the stadium and walk around on the concourse up there, and the girls will run up and down the beach and get a little exercise in. So I see them then. But, you know, between that and obviously a lot of puzzles are being made now, you know, those puzzles that people put together.
The board games are getting dusted off a little bit. Yeah.
Big time. And I think if you're a board game person, if you're not, they're hard to find in the stores now. They're leaving that Monopoly thing is pretty well known, right? So people are playing Monopoly and doing puzzles, we're doing everything.
We've been resurrecting our family poker game a little bit.
Oh, there you go.
It's all good. Yeah, but just to shift gears a little bit, Herm, like, you are clearly a master motivator, and players respond to you, as evident by, you know, your incredible success just so quickly here at the, you know, at ASU. Do you have any tips for young coaches on how to connect, how you connect, and how you get the most out of your players or your teams?
Well, I think you have, and you know this, you've coached for a long time, that's why you're successful. I think you have to have relationships with the players to recruit. And it starts when you first start a team, or even if you inherit a team. I think it's that understanding of what motivates that athlete. I've always said that. What motivates them? They're all different. They all have different buttons you have to push to motivate them. Well, how do you do that? Well, you got to learn the player. I think that's very important, because once you can get into that, into the mind of the player and what motivates them, then you got a chance. Then it becomes fun, because you know what buttons to press. So my saying, and I've said this a long time, as long as I've been coaching, is like, you treat everyone fair, you don't treat everyone the same. Because in reality, that's life. And that's the same way with athletes. And I think they understand that. Now, there's a standard that all of them must meet. And I'm not a big rule guy. I think when you start, you know, when you start applying rules to players, and I always look at through the players' eyes when I speak to them or decide to make a decision, I go, if I ask the player to do this, this is for me because of the head coach I am, and I can just say this and they'll do it. And if I ever get to that point, I go, well, no, it ain't about me, it's about the player. And so how can I stay in step with the player? And as you know, Charlie, you've been coaching a long time, been very successful. The dynamics of players have changed somewhat because of social media. It's a different way to motivate them now, right? Their attention span is not as long as they 20 years ago of an athlete. No one's fault.
Agreed.
They multitask. Yep. They're in a world like that. They're in a world of short blurbs. They want information quickly. That's why I always tell coaches, if you can't tell them why first, you're in trouble. You have to tell them why first. They understand why. They want to know why. They search for knowledge. You know, I always say coaches are like teachers. What we do, we don't give any player talent. God gives them the talent. We give them information. We're information providers. Now, how they accept it, that's the key to coaching.
Exactly. Wow. I mean, I hope everybody heard everything you just said, because even if you're a parent, you know, Herm, what you just said is just like understanding your kid. You know, all your kids aren't motivated the same way, and, you know, seeing things through their perspective. I mean, that's, you know, relationships are everything. You know, we all know
they are.
Relationship is sideways. We're sideways.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, no, you're right. And you know, they're, you know, and I always say, you know, like the one thing we realize, coaches, and I just think as humans and beings, lost time is never found again. You don't get it back. You don't. You just don't. You can't find it. You lose when time is lost. It's gone. You don't get it back. So you can't say, "Well, I'm gonna." No, you're not going to get it back. And so you got to understand that when you're dealing with players, you know, you got this short period of time with them, and every moment is precious. And how do you get them focused in on what needs to be done in a manner that will allow them to become better? Because when you can do that, when you have the ability to do that, then they're involved. Now they're involved. So you got to understand.
Right. Well said. Thank you. Positivity and wisdom right there, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so last question, and we're going to let you off the hot seat.
Sure.
Okay, everybody's getting super excited for Sun Devil football. What right now, like, I don't know, this is a hard question, but just, you know, maybe one thing, but what right now excites you the most about your team? I mean, you know, the bunch of ranked teams last year coming off a bowl win. You know, All-American freshmen.
I would say our youth. When you look at our football team, you know, we're trying to build a program, and you look back last year, we played 32 freshmen, either true freshmen or redshirt freshmen.
It was insane, Herm.
I say that to myself, too, every time they run out on the field. I go, oh, boy. But, you know, it's a team that really, they only have 9 seniors on this team coming back. So very young, but they're very enthusiastic. We've acquired some talent. We've acquired some talent in a lot of different areas. Now we got to mold together. We have enough senior leadership to piece it all together, you know. But some of these young guys are going to be forced to be leaders. Like Jake Daniels, you know, I gave him a pass last year. He's a freshman quarterback. I told him, I don't want you to lead. Just play quarterback. You don't have to leave. Right. Well, he knows now. I said, Jake, now it's time now. You got to do this, right? Whether you like it or not. You know, so I just think I enjoy that. I enjoy, you know, just the process of developing young people. I enjoy that. I really do, because there's a process to it. And when you see them develop as young people, and you know this, you do this with your players, you know, you're watching freshmen. And then they become seniors, and you see the growth in them, and you go, "This is really something that you're really proud of." Coach, see them grow up in front of your eyes.
100%, Herm. And you know, in like at least like a lot of your kids, I mean, your young men will go on and you know, maybe even get rich with football. Women's basketball, they don't. So I mean, you know, growing them into strong, caring leaders and preparing them for life after sport is definitely, you know, besides winning, our next top objective.
Oh yeah, no. And you know, and that's what you want.
Actually, our
objective
over winning. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and you know, and no, but you say it right, because at the end, they're gonna be parents. They're gonna be parents.
Right.
And you know, and they're gonna be adults, and they're gonna be community leaders. All that, you know, sports ends eventually for everyone. You know, eventually it just ends. It just stops. Because, you know, you can't play anymore. So you got to make a decision. What's going to do in your real life, right? But the things they learn about being an athlete, that team thing about counting on others and being respectable and you know, personality, they can all have success if they understand the team part of it. Those are life lessons you learn in athletics. I've always said this. When you're an athlete and a coach, when you step between and you walk into the arena, you expose yourself. You get exposed, you know, with the victories, with the defeats, with the hard games or whatever it may be. You expose yourself in front of everybody, in front of an audience. And that says something. You learn a lot about yourself when you put yourself in that position of being vulnerable.
Well said, Herm. And they're always, eyes are on you. You know, you have your poise. I mean, your leadership has been... And I, you know, I watch you, and I'll be watching you even harder this year because we have one senior. So I'm going to follow you with a super young team. It's like, okay, we got a lot of talent, but man, okay, we got to figure this out and grow some leaders. But, you know, just appreciate, again, incredible wisdom, you know, always tremendously enthusiastic and positive. And we just appreciate you so much. I appreciate you so much. And you stay safe in this time. And I know I hope that your wife does let you come around a little bit more, because as a fellow coach, we know all the sacrifices we make, and you know, a lot of that is family time at times. So
well,
try to get a little.
We know that. And you do the same. And, you know, I appreciate you and what you've done for women's basketball. And I'm a fan. There's no doubt. I'm a fan of sports, but I'm a fan of coaching as well. You know, I love the way you coach your squad, and I've watched from afar even before I got it. You know, I keep up with that stuff for some reason. I don't know why. And I knew you went to school. I lived on the West Coast, so I knew where you were at before you got here and all that stuff. So I've seen you from afar, and you're doing a marvelous job for these young people. And I can't thank you enough for what you do.
Well, thank you, Herm. And I'm kind of hoping Gabriel, Vivian, kind of you know, keep playing a little basketball. Can't
yeah, I'm gonna send them to you.
Okay, I'll take them. Okay. I'll take
all
them.
All right.
Hey, thanks again, Herm. Take care.
Okay, thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Yeah. God bless. Bye-bye. Now for Coach's Corner, I am so excited about our ASU football team, and I'm also obviously really excited about our ASU women's basketball team. And, you know, probably just to kind of build on a few things that Coach and I touched on, we're excited to grow the new leadership skills and help this team embrace a championship culture going forward. We have actually the same challenge that Herm's going to have this year with a very, very, very young team. And so where we always start with a young team in a new season is really three key things. First of all, making sure they understand, your team understands high standards. You know, the mark of every great team is a team that has high standards for themselves. For any parents out there, you know, I won't name names. One of my sons was always in high school. He was just like, Mom, I got a B. It's okay. Like, what's wrong with a B? And I said, well, nothing's wrong with a B if that is the best that you can do, which it wasn't at the time. And this is, I'm actually talking about Liam, and Liam has grown a lot, but that, you know, that's a huge area as parents, as coaches, as teachers, is just helping these young people, keep them motivated to have high standards. The second thing is just honest communication. You know, again, Herb touched on relationships. You know, relationships are everything. And the foundation of relationships is honest communication and trust. And just, you know, talking about honest communication, we all know, that helping, especially young people, you know, that's not a text conversation. When they're communicating something, there's so much miscommunication, I think, you know, through texts, or, you know, you kind of say what you know, is cryptic, or you withhold information. And, you know, we just work on with our young women just really being transparent and genuine, and knowing when it needs to be a face-to-face conversation, and really just being genuine and positive. You know, if it doesn't add value, if you're not saying something positive, then it probably doesn't need to be said. You know, and we'll really be honing those skills this off season, and then of course the foundation of every relationship is trust. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't say right now that all of us have a great window right now to kind of evaluate and improve our relationships in this area, because we just probably have a little bit of extra time, depending on, you know, not the medical professionals and the frontline people, but you know, you think about a high trust relationship in your life, and it's easy and it's flowing, and you know, you're comfortable, and then think about maybe if you have a low trust relationship in your life, you know, and that things are a little more tense. You know, you tend to avoid maybe conversations and interactions with somebody. We talk about this all the time in our program, just building trust through simple things by paying attention to people, by listening to people, by actions of just genuine care and concern. I don't build trust with my own children by buying them a car. You know, that's just a thing. You know, I build trust by listening to how they're feeling and hopefully, you know, being in tune and remembering and knowing how to help them when they need it. I wanted to share these few things. I know we're kind of on our time limit for our podcast today. I'm so excited for our new team next year. And, you know, these are the three areas that we're going to really be hitting hard and focusing on, even through Zoom calls and remotely. And for anybody, whether you're building a team, whether you're raising kids, you're a teacher, so many people across different industries are leading and mentoring. You know, the high standards, the honest communication, and building trust are definitely our foundation where we start beginning of every new year. So until next time, stay tuned, stay safe. Go Devils.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode of It's My Turn with Charlie Turner Thorne.